my title is Magnificent Four with Colors. And okay, let's start. My main goal is to present a conjecture. So for certain generating sum of certain partition functions. So my basic objects will be called zeta kn, and I will construct some generating function of this. I will explain how they are built, what is their physical origin, and then I will try to describe a conjecture for this. And okay, I do not know what's the precise connection of the object to I'm going to talk about to cohomological algebras. Maybe you guys know better and can extract. But it will have a very suggestive form that kind of alludes, suggests that there should be some interesting representation theory content behind it. So that's well. So this is based on some work that I did with Nikita Nekrasov. And maybe if there is time, I will also talk about some work in progress along these lines. So what are these objects? Where do they come from? At least in physical parlance, I will be counting some BPS states for a system. In my case, it will be, say, a very specific example along the same lines that have been discussed in previous talks. So I will discuss the zero, the eight brains in flat space with some B field turned on. But even before I discuss this, I just wanted to make to draw a couple of tables just to give you a roadmap where this very specific problem sits in a larger framework that many of you guys may be familiar. So I wanted to write two tables. Say, in general, one can consider DP prime systems of where these are DP and DP prime brains, and consider their bound states. And I just want to illustrate, as many of you know, that these systems have taught us something very interesting in the past. So I will call, say, P prime less than P and delta the difference. And first of all, one can say something about what kind of observables one is computing. And there are, in my opinion, three interesting cases. So there will be D minus one, D zero, and D one. So this is the lower one, brains. And correspondingly, one is working the type of cohomology. One is working in always equivariant. I will explain. So this is D minus one, just give you a matrix model. So this is equivariant cohomology. Yes. Yeah, that's basically, let's sometimes call D minus one instantons. This is a word line that is an S1. So this is a word line that is a point, if you want. And the case of interest for me today will be the case of D0. Ah, sorry. Yeah, so you can also ask what's the word line. So let's write here. And this, roughly speaking, translates to a gauge to, I can always talk about the word line or a gauge theory on R delta, which is that number, times something. And so like you said, like we said, this is just a point. This is will be the D zero I will put on a circle. So this will be S1. So this will be R theory on RD times S1. And this will be equivariant K theory. And for D1, you will have the word line to be at T2. And so this will be equivariant elliptic cohomology. So like I said, I will sit here, but many of these cases are interesting and have been studied by the people. And the other thing I wanted to draw is the dimension of the the number delta. So there are, well, let me erase this. So for delta, there are at least three interesting cases. There is the familiar case, delta equal to 4. And there is also the also familiar case, delta equal to 6. And then delta equal to 8, which will be, again, the case I will focus again on. So this is your the gauge theory on R4. Say either S1 times R4. This is the familiar object that gives you, say, the say, let me say, okay, let me say better two things. I will talk about, I will describe more precisely later, but one can associate certain fixed point to certain torus section. And these fixed points will be classified by partitions of certain dimension. So for this case, it will be 2D partitions, namely Young diagrams. So fixed points will be in one-to-one correspondence with Young diagrams. In this case, it will be plane partition. So I'll either call Young or 2D. This is plane or 3D. And I will explain the case relevant for me is solid. So plane partitions. And the case relevant for me will be solid partitions. Or color solid partition if you go to the higher rank case. So, and here, I just wanted to write some relevant concepts that are kind of computed by this object. So this is the story of the original Necras of instanton partition function. So this connects with Cyber-Witten theory, for example, with Donaldson invariance for manifold. Then this case is more precisely related to, of course, I will also, there are links between these, like I will discuss, but let's first, this the 0 d6 is originally related to Donaldson Thomas for threefold. So the say the K vertex of MNOP or Okunkov. And then the case of interest for me, on one side, so I will be working on flat space, so C4, but one expects to be able to construct this for every toric Krabiau fourfold. So here the appropriate concept is Donaldson Thomas invariance for fourfold. From the gauge theory viewpoint, this will be a higher codimension instanton. So the D0 brains will be propagating in a D8 background. So these are codimension 8 instantons. In some kind of 8 plus 1 dimensional gauge theory. And they satisfy an equation of this type, say F star F equal F wedge omega, where this is a special holonomy form. So I will take this to be the SU4. So I will take this to be a Calabi-Yau form, so namely a 4-0 holomorphic form. There are two choices. For example, there is a paper by Singer, Kanno, that discusses a few of these semi-topological theories. The one of relevance for me will be the one where omega is a 4-0 form. So the zero are like instantons and satisfy these kind of equations. And of course, there are relations between these various constructions, like the D0, D6. I forgot the column in my table. And is the column related to the B-field? One can either have or not B-field in this construction, since the construction has to be supersymmetric. So, yeah. The interesting thing that happens is that so B-field, in the D0, D4 case, one can either work with or without B-field, no problem. So both with and without. The D0, D6 case in its study special, it only works with B-field, namely it's supersymmetric only with. And the D0, D8 case, again, can be one can do the construction both with and without B-field. And the case with B-field, again, will be of interest for me, but people can try to study. Actually, I think I've tried to study also the construction without B-field. So that's something I forgot. And I was also saying that these theories are, of course, related, because D0, D6 is like you can consider it as some kind of auxiliary gauge theory like the vertex is some kind of auxiliary gauge theory in this geometric engineering perspective for the four-dimensional gauge theories. One example. Other example is that, for example, this is 0d8. If I will have time, I can show that it reduces to all our previous known cases. So again, I can perform some particular limits in the parameters of my construction and link this to this or this to that. So there are, okay, I haven't been very precise, but I just want to point out that there are some links between between these various constructions. So before, okay, let me finish this kind of rough introduction. I just wanted to draw a cartoon, and that's the following. So I will be my problem will be this one. So I will consider a specific case in that thing. DD0 will be like instantons, like you can understand, and DD8 will be background. So. And I will turn on B field. So D0 will be, let's draw a cartoon. These things are 8. See? And so I will put my D8 along, say, R8 times time direction. And then there will be a certain number of D0 along RT. I will take, I always call the number of D0 K, which is the instanton number from the gauge theory perspective. And that's this first k that appears here. And I will fix the d8 number to little n. This changing this changes what theory you're considering. And instead, we are instructed to sum over k. So for every n and k, I will define a quantum mechanics. And then the final result will be a sum over k. I will explain how this is computed. And then I will present a conjecture for this object. And okay, maybe one last introductory thing that one can mention is what is this object? I can give various, this is the Witten index of my quantum mechanics. One can give various presentations. Let me just, for the moment, give the most basic one. So the object that I want to compute is this zeta kn. It will be twisted, and I will discuss in a moment where this comes from. But you can, in first approximation, define as a, so there will be an Hilbert space associated to the zero brains. I call it HK. So there will be minus one to the fermion number. There will be an Hamiltonian operator. And then there will be a group element, a certain, for the moment, let me just call it G, and then in a moment I will specify what it is that commutes with all the supercharges and allow me to twist the index. So this is like some character valued partition function. And it, my plan is to describe a little bit this, and then present a conjecture how it sums. But before, yeah, I will maybe stop to see.
My numerical question, so for whatever for Nekrasov story, you, there is, for example, simplest case, you consider the Hilbert scheme.
Yeah, I will come to that. So
but maybe you give a mathematician because
you yeah. Yeah, you are asking basically what's the analog of the Hilbert scheme of points on C2 for this story that I will describe, yeah. For example. Yeah, so I will come to that more precisely, but basically one way to say is that I can define this zeta as some intersection theory or K theory on a certain space. That certain space is the moduli space of vacuum of my quantum mechanics, and that will turn to be related in the simplest cases to the Hilbert scheme of C4, this case. So there's no orientation for that, but since I'm working equivariantly, I will just be happy to orientate it at the fixed points. And of course, I maybe not everything is clear, but and the quantum mechanics nicely produces the correct orientation. So there's, you can imagine many, many ways to orient this, the obstruction and the deformation bundle, but the quantum mechanics comes out precisely with the sign choice such that this program works. That's in a nut, but I will try to come back and make it more precise. And maybe there are other questions?
Do you need orientation because there is no perfect abstraction?
Yeah, precisely. 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 Okay, so if there is no questions. Let's see. We erase this. So, okay, one thing I haven't explained is what is that G. So, but just to make it, just to, I want to say just in word what I'm going to do is that I will consider some supersymmetric quantum mechanics. So, which just comes from physics argument, just comes from the effective action for the D brains. So I can reduce, I can compute the effective action for D0 in this D8 background. And there will be D0, D0 strings, and D0, D8 strings. And this will give me some kind of effective action. That's the, the action of the quantum mechanics. And this quantum mechanics has two supercharges. So it's a gauge quantum mechanics, of course. And I the gauge group is UK. And so we said n equal to 2. That comes from effective action for the zero brains. And the other thing I wanted, I should discuss is there is another group, which I call, so there is the gauge group, and then there's something I call the flavor group, so G flavor, which is where that little G element lives. And this can just be read out from the physical construction. So, and this goes as follows. So this is, here is where my equivariant parameters live, and that's where the final result depend on. So there will be, say, you could say there is a spin 8 symmetry that is acting on the R8 world volume, I mean, space part of the world volume. Actually, in order to preserve some supersymmetry, we need to reduce this to SU4. So the first type of parameters will be parameters that parameterize this guy. So say QA, A from 1 to 4, and the product of the QA equal to 1 to enforce this SU4 condition. This is the Calabi-Yau, this I refer to as the Calabi-Yau condition in this thing that I raised. So product QA equal to 1. This is the first thing. There is a UN. This N was the number of the 8 brains. And let me call it N sub capital N. And this is just the Champaton bundle on the D8 world volume. So D8, sorry. Yeah, UN is just some UN group. And I just label sub N to name it. Just, yeah. Just because I want to recall that N is the Champaton bundle of ND8.
I don't put N after the parenthesis.
Yeah, whatever. I could even call U capital N.
No.
N is N dimension, so.
Yes, excellent.
And to make you happier later, so this capital N is little N dimensional. And later I will identify it with its character, its virtual character, just because they are the same things. And anyway, this is this. And there is a second UN in the story, which is not completely manifest in the geometry. So there's a second UN sub M for masses. And this comes from the Champaton bundle of anti-D8. So N anti-D8. Sorry, M Champaton bundle. Now, if you don't like this, like one should argue, okay, what M is again a little n dimensional, but it's different because it will have different equivariant parameters. In physics language, it will be some fundamental masses that I can insert in my quantum mechanics. If you, there are now, if you want to discuss about this, there are two paths. We can either argue physically whether this system has a tachyon condensation and follows to a new super, since the B field is there, and follows to a new supersymmetric story where anti-D8 and D8 annihilate, and this is left behind a supersymmetric vacuum. Otherwise, I will present, I can define my zeta mathematically, just as some integral on some moduli space. And you can guess, since it's a bit an index, there will be a roof genus. And then I can make further insertions. I will explain a little bit later. These further insertions are parameterized by this bundle. So if one does not, it's like saying I have this cohomological field theory, and I just deform my action by some other exact terms, and the equivariant parameters are these. But okay, I will come back to this later, and then if you are still unhappy, or you can complain about it. But so I just want to give names. So I introduced QA for the SU4. Then I introduced parameters, say, nu alpha for the first UN. Alpha goes from 1 to N. And then I introduced parameters mu alpha. Again, alpha, it's important that this is still dimension little n. And this is some parameter, zeta. This guy parameterizes little zeta, parameterizes the Cartanov, my flavor group. I will actually take everything complex, since I will describe how I can do this. Anyway, you can think of this as some C star to some power, to the rank. And the statement is that little g is a function of this little zeta. So the equivariant parameters appear in here, just a name. And so let me now, I hope I can start to shed some light maybe on this story. So one way to do is perhaps describe what's the field content of this quantum mechanics. And so unless you guys can stop me at any times, but so field content. Yeah, so now, okay, this quantum mechanics is a quantum mechanics for matrices. So
is it like we have four commutative matrices of
size? Yeah, yeah, that's what that was my next step. That's what I wanted to describe next. I will introduce these matrices, which comes from physics, but this is just some ADHM-like stuff. And then I construct a moduli space, which again comes from physics. And then maybe you can see a hint of something more rigorous. Like, in the end, it's just a residue, so it's rigorous. But so let me give you maybe again some few minutes, and then you will see something that makes you happier. So what I want to, want to open a little subsection, and I want to come to describe a little space, MKN. So this will be, in the simplest cases, this will be turn out to be the Hilbert scheme of C4. In other cases, it will be something else. And so I want to describe, if you want mathematically, what are the building blocks that come into it. So how do we do? I describe the field content of my supersymmetric quantum mechanics. So, and this is just three dots from physics. So the first piece, like I said, comes from D0, D0 strings. And this piece is just a reduction of Young-Mills, of super Young-Mills from 10 dimensions. So I have, in n equal to 2 language, I have a vector multiplet that so is made of out of a vector, A sub T, a scalar, everything real, and two fermions. So these are adjoint of UK, little k. And another way of representing this is that these fields live in endomorphism of capital K. But this capital K is just the defined representation of UK, dimension K, and I will later again identify with its character, because it's the same thing. So this is the first piece. Then I will have, by the way, you can read this from dimensional reduction, so it should match how SP8 is decomposed, but okay. So then I will have some chiral multiplets. These are the B's that you were talking about before, so. So BA. BA dagger and fermions. A here goes from 1 to 4. And again, they are in the adjoint of UK. And in the 4 of SU4, say the little index is the 4 of SU4. And again, they are in endomorphism of, or pi endomorphism of this K. So this will play an important role in the construction of the moduli space. These are like the ADHM matrices, if you want. And then there will be a last sector. So there will be a Fermi multiplet, which I can call chi AB. Again, AB are the same range that I wrote there. And these guys are subject to some constraint of the form epsilon ABCD, chi dagger CD. And they are again in the adjoint of UK and the 6 of SU4. So again, they live in endomorphism. And this is just the 0-0 sector, which you just can read from Young-Mills. And then there will be another piece, which I write there. And it will come from the 0-8 sector. So these are like these are the matrices that appear in your quiver, these Bs. And then I will have other matrices, which will live in HOM of some spaces. So let's write what the HOM of what. So the 0-8 strings sector. So there will be, first of all, there will be a chiral multiplet. Which I call, say, I dagger plus fermions. And notice that so when I write plus fermions, it's just because these have standard supersymmetric relation, which I don't write. Also, the action will have the standard kinetic terms and so on. I just write non-trivial stuff, so you'll write the potential. So I just write plus fermions. They are the Susie transforms of these guys. And the interesting thing is that these guys, these bosons I and I dagger, are only there in the case of, in the presence of B field. So they come from an S sector of my string spectrum. So if I didn't have B field, the story would be completely different. I wouldn't have this that will appear in the description of my moduli space. So the specularity of this problem. And they are just, so in this case, say they live in HOM N. Okay. So they are a B fundamental of UK and the first UN, which I call U sub N. So I can just write HOM NK. And the last piece comes from the 0 anti D8, which contributes a Fermi multiplet. And so let me, I call it upsilon and upsilon dagger. And again, it will be B fundamental with the second UN. So it will be in HOM M, okay? Where this, I emphasize that both N and M have the same dimension. Yes?
Can you use the language chiral and Fermi, assume you're using 0.2?
That's the N equal to 2 language. Yes?
It's 0.2
language. Well, 0.2 I can reduce to quantum mechanics. I get an n equal to 2 quantum mechanics.
Yeah, but not all n equal to 2 can be expressed in this language.
Well,
is the language, when you say there is a Kamal class, there is a standard Lagrangian.
Yes. Lab, that's for n equal to 2 supersymmetric.
You're implying that this is a reduction of a 0.2 symmetric Lagrangian.
In my case.
Fermi means in n equal to 2 quantum mechanics.
Well, Fermi means that just I have this guy and an auxiliary boson. It transforms into the other.
Okay. Morse theory is an example of an equal to quantum mechanics, supersymmetric quantum mechanics. Can you talk about Morse theory in the language of chiral multiples, Fermi multiples, and so on?
I don't know. Maybe I have to assume it's a reduction.
No, the Morse theory is for a real manifold, right?
Yeah.
So I would say no.
Maybe no. I'm no expert.
So when you say so, this is.
Okay, so maybe you want, yeah, maybe you're right. It comes from a reduction from 0.2, say, yeah. Anyhow, I just wanted to say that okay, let's assume it's a reduction, but then at this point, all terms in the action are canonical. So I rotate to the Euclidean, put it on a circle, and all the SUSY transformation, kinetic terms for everybody and so on, there will be only one way to write them.
So you could have gone higher to this elliptic cohomology level. So yeah. In this case, you exactly need the two-dimensional. So anyway, it's natural that it should come from 2D, right? From 0,2 into D.
Say again, it's?
So it's natural that
it's natural.
Should come,
yeah.
Should come
yeah.
From this.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about elliptic cohomology point?
I could, but I don't want. I mean.
No, I'm just saying. The statement, there is a canonical Lagrange and blah, 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 is not true if you said it for any virtual supersymmetric quantum mechanics.
Okay, maybe that was too much. I take it back. I only claim that it's true for n equal to 2 SUSY quantum mechanics arise as a reduction. Yeah, maybe more. Okay. Any other remarks before? Now for this class of models, there is a canonical SUSY transformation and kinetic terms that I don't write. The interesting part is the potential. So there will be a scalar potential, which I, yeah.
Scalar fermionic potential.
Eh?
Scalar fermionic potential.
Yes. But after all, it's like I have a quantum mechanics and I want to minimize, so the vacua will be the minimum of this potential, say on the X branch of the quantum mechanics, which is will be a sum of squares and will be built out of these matrices, these ADHM type matrices. And that's what I will use to construct my kind of moduli space. So this V is something like that. So it's a sum of two squares, like if you want like a D term and an F term. So there is a piece which is something like trace. I will write and then explain what are the symbols. So trace mu square. Actually, okay, let's already do trace mu minus zeta square and trace sum SAB stagger AB 2, 3. So mu is the first piece of something like is built out of the matrices B. So it's a sum over A, BA commutator BA dagger plus I dagger. This is mu. This zeta is called a Fayeli-Opulos term. So I take it to be a positive number. And it's again, by looking at the quantum mechanics construction, it's possible to introduce this because I have B field. And it's crucial that it is positive. Like this n equal to 2 has some kind of wall crossing. So depending on the choice of this guy, the result changes. So I take positive. And S, AB. Is the like an F term type of constraint? Is commutator BA BB plus this is the SU for epsilon ABCD is the SU for symbol. Dagger, see. Can people read? So this is kind of self dual object. And this is a. So this defines what is V for me. And I just want to point out that now we know what's the. So the classical vacua will be the minima of this, will be the zeros. So the space that I started kind of this section with, I can define now. So this M KN is just the set of B's and I's. So B1, B4, I. Such that, let's call this B. V of B is equal to 0. And you have to quotient by the UK action, which I've given implicitly when I define the field. So they are all in the, these guys are in the adjoint, and this is the B fundamental. So this is the space I have in mind. This is this parameterizes the classical vacuum of my theory. And okay, I can make maybe a few remarks about this. So remark number okay. Remark number one is that now zeta, which is the object I started with, can be defined in terms of this. So I had zeta kn, and now I can try to mimic what I mean by the Witten index in terms of some forms. So there will be some integral mkn, say some virtual cycle, and there will be a hat genus that comes from just the Dirac part. And then there will be the mass insertion. So I insert, say, chern of wedge E, where what I mean is that I just mean a short notation for the following. So this thing is, so chern is just the things that appear in the chi y genus. So it's sum over I up to zero, up to the rank of E, minus one to the I, chern. Wedge I of E. And E for me is a bundle, so it's precisely the bundle HOME, which was here, and is this bundle here that comes from the NTD8. It's the bundle HOME M K over M K N. This kind of one way that one can think about how to define the partition function that I was talking about.
Yeah.
They are defining equivariantly. So at the fixed point, there is an orientation, and it's well defined.
Is it compact?
No, it's not compact. So okay, let me say something more about MKN. But like you pointed out, first of all, this is not meant to be defined everywhere. It's meant to define equivariantly. So these guys contain the equivariant weights. And the orientation is only given at the fixed points. And a remark that may clarify one of your questions is that we know a name for MKN in certain cases.
So G should enter into the equivariant Chern and the classes, right?
Little G? Yeah, precisely. That's what I said. E and A will have inside the equivariant weights, which is what I call small zeta before. Yeah, yeah, that's how they are defined. And the remark I wanted to make is that for the case n equal to 1, so m k1 is something that has a name, and it's the Hilbert, like I said before, it's the Hilbert scheme of k points on C4. And for higher n, it's some other space.
Is it always common?
Well, from what I say, it's not clear. It's defined. It's perhaps better to think in terms of real manifolds. Like I don't even know that either K1 or Kn. I don't even know if it can be represented as, say, hyperkähler. Probably not. Quotient. So. Well, to do algebraic geometry, yeah, you would need an orientation on the, say, probably on the whole MKN. No, because I think it can be defined equivariantly. So I will compute it, and then it will be equal to a residue, basically. I think this makes sense, at least equivariantly, as some residue of a rational form, which is what the path integral is computing for me. I think that's. But before I describe how it's computed, I also wanted to make another remark on this space. And remark zero, remark one, is that the virtual complex dimension of that space is precisely the same number. So, of M Kn. One can look at the equation is Kn, and it's the same as the number of components in the fermion upsilon. So that's why this guy was constrained to be n-dimensional. Like if you remember what I it was discussed before. So this insertion is not random. It's like one of the only insertions such that that thing is, does not vanish. That was one remark. No, I don't think it is hyperkähler. Yeah, there's not four, so. But not, probably not even Kähler.
You write dimension over C. So.
Well, yeah, naively. Just naively, if I count this.
It's an integer number.
Well, I could write over R and multiply by 2, that's what I meant.
It's an integer number, it is dimension.
Yes, yes. So
half of the real dimension is an integer number. Right?
Say again?
One half of the real dimension is an integer number.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know much about the, even if we restate to MK1, I wouldn't say much about the Hilbert scheme of C4. I think it's not very well understood. Like, well, and okay, maybe. And the second remark was that on that space. On the space of solution, so on M Kn, if you look at the equations that define V, from this equation you get a constraint for I by just tracing. So you get the trace I dagger is equal to K zeta, which I took to be positive. And from the other equation, by manipulating it, you get these matrices commute. So 1 and 2 is that BA, BB commute by some manipulation of these. Yeah, they. You are asking if I put if about B dagger. Yes, they will also. Yeah. And yeah. And okay, and there is also. Okay, this I just write it. There is also a condition that is obeyed in terms of the maps. You could call it a stability condition, but since I'm not very expert, I'm worried that I just. So on that space, there is also. So you remember that I had since they commute, since the B's commute, now I can construct polynomials in those. So I can construct polynomials in B1, B2, B3, B4. And then I can apply the appropriate homomorphism, so I of capital N. And this will be, say, contained in K, right? Because of how I described the homomorphism, but there's actually an inequality on that space. So this is another, I don't know how to prove. I think I wouldn't be able to prove it on the board, but I think it can be proved by some kind of Morse theory type argument that this is equality. Sorry?
I think it's pure.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I'm not expert. But I think this should hold true on MKN. That's equality, not just contain. It's not very important for that. That just to meant that this is suggesting to you that yeah, it's like we should look at some kind of solid partition or higher dimensional partition should appear because that's how in the Hilbert scheme of C2 one was manipulating and getting the Young diagrams, and this is the moral analog. So you should expect that later on in my story, some higher dimensional analog of those appear, if I come to that. And okay, so let me maybe just say in words that there are, now the question is, how do we compute this? And at least staying for one more minute in the physical realm, there are some physical techniques to compute this, for example, localization. So one can use supersymmetric localization. And so I just maybe skip a few parts and say that ZKN can be computed. And the standard, so basically, one is going to weakly gauge part of the global symmetry group and then use it to localize. And localization is reduced to, so, oh, what should I erase? In one statement is that I want to say that say the path integral is dominated by certain configurations for which the covariant derivative of this field is zero, and this covariant derivative was built with the standard derivative plus what I call a sub t. And so the solutions are parameterized by parameter, say, u, that lives in the Cartan of the gauge group. So let's say complexified Cartan. This little t is complexified Cartan algebra of UK in my case, but that will be true for every gauge group. So this, and then what you're left with is like some little fluctuations around these solutions, which appear in the while loop determinant. And that's what I'm going to write down. This is like a, I don't spend too much on it because it's like a, there's many ways to, to deal about it, but it's like a standard standard result. And the, and the result is that so zeta kn can be computed, so some computation, and it turns out to be equal to say 1 over k factorial, and then a sum of a, of a certain functional, which is called Jeffrey Kirwan residue, of a certain form, which I will write down briefly. This form chi k is a k form that can be read from the field content. And the Jeffrey Kirwan residue depends on the pole where you are computing, which I call u star, and depends on the Fayeli-Opulos term zeta. And it will be, so it will have isolated poles in my case. So u star will be along some singular, m singular. And this just, I don't explain, but it's like a well-defined function that given a form gives a number. So this is, I just ask you to buy this statement if you don't know it. So this is computed. And now I just want to do some little manipulations. Two things I can do is I can write down what is chi k, that is the form I'm looking at, whose poles I'm looking at. So maybe, yeah. And again, it's just read from the field content, the representation theory content of my fields, of my quantum mechanics. So chi k, which appears in the computation of the residue, is something of this type. There's some number, which I don't remember. And then it's product over I, different from j up to k. So it's some rational form. Xi. So xi for me is just the exponent of ui that I introduced before. So 2 pi I ui. And also I will use the notation qab for the product of my omega background parameters. So this is this chi is xi minus xj. And then the product a less than b up to 3 xi minus qab xj. And here, so this all comes from, say, vector multiplet, Fermi, and chiral multiplets in the theory. So these are, for example, the b, product over I from 1 to 4, xi minus qa, xj. And then there is a second piece. Which is product over I to k, and product over alpha up to n, xi, say, minus mu alpha, xi minus nu alpha, and then du, which is the xi over xi. So this is my form. And these guys are defined as they are. And the statement is that with another little computation, I can show the following thing. So I can show that this is the guy that will enter in my conjecture. So I first describe how to compute it. And the statement is that this can be, say, computed. And now this should be rigorous. So this is just a standard residue. Even the Jeffrey Kirwan residue is, I think it's rigorous.
Can you say which residue? You skip this word, JK. Can you
speak
on the word, names?
Yeah, sorry. This is JK means Jeffrey Kirwan. And I didn't want to spend a lot of, it's like, right, is some functional defined on these forms that depends on the hyperplane arrangement of whatever form you're computing, and it gives you a number. So it's like selecting which poles. Sorry, I didn't. Jeffrey Kirwan. It's a very natural object that comes from this type of path integrals. And by some computation, I can show that the Jeffrey Kilo residue is equal to just some standard residue. So, but before I do that, so the statement will be here that the poles that are picked by the Jeffrey Kilo residue, so this has many poles, this form, the Jeffrey Kilo residue will pick only some poles, and these poles will be in one-to-one with the color solid partitions. So I want, since perhaps not everybody is familiar with R-dimensional partition, I will open a little parenthesis and define what I mean by solid partitions. I just need a couple of concepts, I mean, things. You can, of course, think in many ways about solid partitions and higher dimensional ones. I just present one way, and it's the following. So you have integers A, B, C, D. Sorry, this is too trivial, but so integers, and then other integers, pi A, B, C, D, bigger equals 0. With some decreasing. So that's why they're called solid, and that's why we will see why sometimes I call 4D. So such that pi A B C less equal pi A plus 1 B C, and similar for B plus 1, and similar for C plus 1. So it's decreasing in all three directions. And what I call solid partition is an object pi. So A, and that's why I sometimes call it 4D, A, B, C, and pi A, B, C, so quadruples, such that pi A, B, C can be infinite, can be finite, whatever. You can try to draw it. It will be drawn. It's like having gravity along four directions and stuck in little cubes. So unfortunately, I cannot. You are stuck in cubes under the influence of gravity. And you can do this in every dimension. And about this, I will just, so for my story, it will actually need, I will actually need a colored solid partition. It's just a vector of this. So pi vector is just, say, of rank n, pi 1, pi n. And this, all these are, each of these is a solid partition. And I will need the character, so which again I can call k. Same letter that I used to denote the vector space because they are the same. So the virtual character is the same. So to a colored solid partition, I can associate the character, and it's just sum over alpha to n, nu alpha, and then sum over the entries of each, so A, B, C, D in pi alpha of monomials of the form Q1, A minus 1, Q2, B minus 1, and so on. Q3, C minus 1, Q4, B minus 1. So this is the character of a single entry, and this is the character of the full vector. This is what I call K, if I will come to the tangent that will appear. And similarly, I can identify N with its character. So N will be sum over alpha, nu alpha. And similarly for M, sum over alpha, mu alpha, both up to n. And the last thing is the size, is just the number of boxes that you have in a partition. So the size, which I denote by this, is just the sum over a, b, c, d in pi, just one, that's one way. And the size of a vector is the sum of the various sizes. So this is all I need about, just quickly, because I need this because now I wanted to say that a little computation tells you that my original partition function can be computed, so is equal to a sum. So sum over a standard iterated residue, which is computed at a flag. So I will say sum over pi, and pi will be something. But first of all, okay, sum, let's say this. Pi will be a colored solid partition of rank k, which appears there, sorry, of rank n, and size k. So k is the number of instantons, number of d0, and n is the number of d8. And f pi is just a flag that I can construct once I choose an ordering of the monomials. Choose, say, lexicographic ordering. This defines a flag. I can define a residue at the flag. And it's just the residue of the flag of ik. So this is just a little computation that tells me what are the relevant poles that appear. And yeah, this is, I think, again, makes mathematical sense, this object. No problem, I think. It's, you can study Russian function. So now I can, in the last few minutes, I can use this zeta k, which I kind of built out. And that's what will appear in the conjecture I wanted to present. So the conjecture is the following. So conjecture is that if I take now, so I have the zeta k, which is a function of g, and I construct a generating sum, so sum over k equal to 0 to infinity, some parameter, say minus p to the k. And this object has a nice, as a suggestive representation, as a platistic exponent in this form. So this is equal, conjecturally, to exp. So it's a platistic, so sum l equal 1 to infinity, 1 over l. And then there is a bunch of things. So q1, 2. So I will use the symbol bracket of x, which is just a sinh, x to the 1 half, x to the minus 1 half. So q12 to the L, q13 to the L, q23 to the L, first piece. And here is the pro, well, q1 to the L, q2 to the L, q3 and q4. And then there is a piece that depends, that gives you the dependence on p. And it's, so s to the L, where s will be something. And then here, p to the L, root s to the L, p to the L over root s to the L, where s is the only place where the Coulomb branch parameters and the masses mu and nu appear. And it's just a product over alpha from 1 to n, say nu alpha over mu alpha. And yeah, so that's the surprising thing, if you want, is that conjecturally, again, this guy depends on all these parameters, nu's and mu's, only through an overall product, which is, I call here S. That's something, then one can test. One thing that is not completely clear, and it will be, I mean, now, since I'm almost out of time, I should probably stop soon, but there are several directions that one can pursue. Like I did the most basic case of a C4. One could try to do the vertex of this, the analog of the topological or the K vertex with now four parameters and so on. It will be a similar computation. And what will be interesting, but I have not much to say, is what kind of algebra or what is associated to this kind of expression. So it's slightly remarkable that you have some platistic expression, but I do not know what's the character of, if whether it is the character of something, for example. And okay, there is a bunch of other questions that one could ask, but maybe that's a good point to stop. And thank you for your attention and patience. Ah, right, I didn't explain. So the word magnificent was there to signify that somehow this is believed, at least from us, that this is the last dimension where this goes through. So I described it as the 4, the 6, the 8. There will be not something above this. There will not be this type of brain construction. And for example, if I had an higher dimensional one, I could always remark 0. This guy, I can already reduce down to lower dimension. Some limit of the parameters, say mu here, I go down to the 0, the 6. I recover much of the previous known stuff. But this the guy does not give me a uniform measure on the space of solid partition. So you know there is this McMahon, that this is the dimension where McMahon fails, and I cannot make this to the uniform measure. If I had an higher dimensional one, for example, I could reduce that to this four dimensional, and then I would have a simple expression, that's one. But even in terms of brains, I ran out of brains to do this construction, so there's something else.
Don't care about brains, but counting partitions.
Exactly, that which is the one that I wrote, right? Yeah, well, I don't see how it could come from physics, at least. But it's not a theorem, it's just a feeling that.
So why this miracle always happens that when you compute this kind of vertices, then it almost doesn't depend on mu and nu because
right.
Your residues depended on them in a crazy way.
Yeah, it depends on some complicated way. That is true.
So, what is there really a reason for this? Why it happens?
I do not know. Yeah, that's a good question. There should be some kind of algebra associated or behind it that explains this. But we got this by. Being familiar with this, but we don't have at least I do not have a profound...
Because there was already a result in, if you go to like dimension lower, like yes. 2d6, there was already this factorization result, there is also no explanation, right?
If you reduce to the 0d6, then there was again a conjecture first by Nikita and then also by some other Japanese for the higher. And this conjecture was proved by Yokunko for rank 1. I'm not aware that it was proven for higher rank. Mm-hmm. So even there, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I have a good...
For rank 1, there are no mu's and nu's, right?
There is only one which you can reabsorb, yeah.
Yeah, there are no... The question is about...
I understand you. But even there, are you saying that there is an explanation there for for plane partition? I don't.
No.
Right. Yeah. So. Again. Yeah. I also don't. I mean, it's.
More questions?
Okay.